And please turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9, verse 22. When I started this Left Behind series, I thought it'd be 2 weeks. We're now up to four. Decided to get a little bit more detailed than I had planned. The first week, we covered the fact that someday there's going to be a rapture of the church. People are going to disappear that are believers in Jesus off of this planet. There's debate about the timing of that, but we covered all that in week one. Week two, we showed that the Bible makes it very clear that when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a 10-nation world empire on earth. And so that somehow, from our condition today, we're going to end up with a 10-nation world empire with a world leader. He's going to be called the Antichrist. We covered that in week two. Week three, we just speculated, using some unfulfilled biblical prophecies of wars that Israel has with their neighbors, we speculated that it could be the massive loss of life and chaos in the world as a result of these coming wars. We're not even talking Armageddon. Armageddon is the last war that most people are aware of, but there's significant wars that are also laid out in Scripture that we covered last week that could put the world in chaos. That would cause the people, the survivors, to say, we need world government. We need to make this never happen again. And we speculated that these wars would set the table perfectly for the rest of Scripture that's to be fulfilled for the last 7 years. The fact that there is an Antichrist that is in charge of a 10-nation global empire. The fact that the Jews will be allowed to rebuild their temple. All those things would be a perfect consequence of these wars being fulfilled before the 10-nation empire is set up, which would mean wars that could happen while we're still here. And people are, again, there was a general on the news last night speculating that this current Gaza war, where Israel has gone into Gaza and is running into all kinds of problems because of all the tunnels and everything that's happened, and even the general is speculating, if they get totally embroiled down there and all of a sudden Hezbollah from the north launches all their missiles, it's going to be terrible for the Jews. And Israel would have to respond. And if they responded like Psalm 83 says, it'll be the fulfillment of I said 20 some hundred years last week. It's 3,000 year old prophecy of Psalm 83. So anyway, this week, we're really truly speaking to the last days people, the ones that will be when the church is left and they've been left behind. How will you know who the Antichrist is? Because pretty much as soon as the Antichrist fully reveals himself by making a covenant, a 7-year covenant, enforcing it with the nations of the world, that's the beginning of the tribulation period. That's the revelation of the Antichrist, and the church is, in our view, going to be gone at that moment. And so then, how will you, after that, what are some of the other things that you will be seeing about this Antichrist? What will you be able to know about him and what he does? And that's what we're going to cover this week. And for those that are left behind, we want you to know that although the world's going to think he's a great guy for the first 3.5 years, bringing world peace, etc., trying to bring world peace through killing a bunch of people, some of the world is going to be enamored by him. But we're going to tell you, future people, that he is your arch enemy if you want to repent. You know, obviously, you missed the rapture. Obviously, you put off a belief in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because you had more important things to do. People had told you about Jesus, but you said, forget that. I don't believe it. And then someday, a bunch of Christians disappeared. And there's quite possible it'll be a big deal. It's also possible that people will debate whether it even happened because the Christians have been weeded out and taken someplace else. And so, but the Christians have disappeared, and now you realize, wow, I should have. I should have believed. I should have trusted in Jesus. Now I've missed the rapture. What else am I going to miss? The answer is you can still get to heaven. But in getting to heaven during the tribulation period when the Antichrist is here is going to cost you your life. You are going to be taking a stand against the global government, against the global leader. This guy is going to be your arch enemy, and it would be better to be beheaded by him than to suffer eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And so it's just a warning. You know, you miss the rapture, then there's still time to repent, to get right with God, but you're not going to have a good life. in this world, because he will be killing the saints, as we're going to see in our study today. So in Daniel chapter 9, verse 22, Daniel has seen the wars that are coming. He sees the 10-nation global empire. He, in chapter 9, he's reading the prophet Jeremiah. He goes, oh, Jeremiah said that from the time that the Jews are dispersed and carried to captivity into Babylon until they come back to the nation, it's going to be 70 years. And he realized, oh, it's been 70 years. And so he starts to say, God, okay, the Jews are going to be back. What's going to happen? What? God, he just went into prayer and he started praying and seeking God and confessing the sins of the nation and how they rebelled against God. And all of a sudden, God's so pleased with him that he's reading his Bible, that he's reading prophecy, that he knows that it's sin that brought the judgment on the people, that he is so close to God because of that. It's an example to us, isn't it? We should be reading our Bibles. We should be paying attention to prophecy. We should realize the things that are messed up about this world is because of the sins of man. And then we can be dearly beloved, as it's going to say that God says about Daniel. And so while he's doing that, an angel appears to him, the archangel Gabriel. And he, the archangel Gabriel, informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. And we're going to cover those verses in detail. I wanted to let you just see the whole thing. And when you really read just the whole thing, if you haven't ever studied the Bible, you've never read the Old Testament, never read the New Testament, never read Daniel, don't understand the things of the Scripture, the nation of Israel and their history, you're going to be thinking, wow, what is that saying? Because it is difficult. I tell people the Bible is difficult to understand, but it can be understood if you really dig down deep. And so we're going to try and do so. In Daniel chapter 9:22, it says, at the beginning of your supplication, the supplication where Daniel is seeking God, saying, I want to know. If God sends the archangel Gabriel to give a special lesson to Daniel, why? Because he, was anybody else doing it? I don't know. I don't know if nobody else was saying, oh, I'm reading Jeremiah, the prophecy's fulfilled. What's going to be happening now? Well, you know, I'm going to go into prayer. I'm going to start preparing my heart to receive from God. I don't know if nobody else was doing it. But I look around today, and tragically, I see the church getting away from any concern about prophecy, the church getting away from reading the Word of God, the people getting away from anticipating God, away from praying and seeking God. We should. I beg you, and I exhort myself. I want to be like Daniel. I would love to get the Archangel Gabriel to give me a special little lesson, wouldn't you? Someday in my prayer closet, have some time to get to know some things. Wouldn't it be something if we had a prophecy that gave us the insights into the future? And at the beginning of her supplication, the command from God went out, and I, Gabriel, have come to tell you, you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. You know, the Bible makes it clear, if you're a child of God, you're greatly beloved too. If you've given your life to Jesus, you trust in him as your Savior, you're turning away from sin, wanting to live a holy life. Whatever God says is sin to you. Whatever God says is righteous to you. You don't go along with what the world says is sin and righteousness. You just want God's word to be your word. Then you're a beloved saint of God. And he wants to use you verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people, the Jews, and for your holy city. And it's so important to understand, some translations make this clear, it's really 77s. The Hebrew word for weeks is sevens, so it's 77s. Now the question is it days, weeks, months of sevens, or years of sevens? And we're going to find out in the text today, related, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament, it's talking about weeks of years. So what the archangel is saying, there's 77s periods of time, 490 years. And what are they about? Your people, the Jews, and your holy city, Jerusalem. So we're reading the Jewish mail. God is saying, Daniel, you're wondering about what's going to happen with the Jews getting back in the land and what's going to happen in their future. What God is telling Daniel, I'm going to use your people and your city for a period of 490 years. And then it goes on to say, at the end of that 490 years, to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, to be all done with all prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Has that happened? No. Because Jesus is not the anointed king of the millennial kingdom in Jerusalem yet. Not all sin has been dealt with in the world yet. Not all the prophecies of the Bible have been fulfilled yet. So we're going to see a starting time here. We're going to see a starting time that happened in around 400 and some B.C. Well, 400 and some B.C. plus 490 years, we should be done. But we're not done. So is the Bible wrong? Did this prophecy not get fulfilled? We're going to answer that question as we go through here. Know therefore, verse 25, and understand that from the going forth of a command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, which is still in ruins when Daniel is receiving this prophecy, until Messiah the Prince, until Jesus' first coming comes, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, a total of 69 sevens, a total of 483 years. Know therefore and understand that, and so then, reading it again, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. When did that command happen? And there's debate about this. Nehemiah has a decree that was given. He was the cupbearer for the king of Persia, and Nehemiah was allowed to go and rebuild Jerusalem. He was sent back as a Jew that was the cupbearer for the king. Go do it. There's Ezra records another one. But basically, these were happening around 444 B.C., 400 and greater B.C., and basically, it all goes, if you go to the 360-day calendar, whatever, it, and people spend a whole study just explaining all this. We're just going to say, it goes from that decree for the Persians to tell the Jews, go back and rebuild your city, Jerusalem, until Jesus comes, exactly fulfills 483 years. Exactly. And so that was fulfilled. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth to rebuild the until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, a total of 483 years. If you read the New Testament carefully, you find in the early parts of Jesus' ministry where one of the disciples, one of the apostles of Jesus, goes to their relatives, their friends, their brothers, and says, "We found him. We found the Messiah." The Qumran community of the Dead Sea Scrolls area had a huge library. The book of Daniel was a prominent part of the Dead Sea Scroll library. Why? Because they had a prophecy from Daniel 400 and some years earlier. They knew when the decree was made by the Persian king for them to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, and they can count years, and they're realizing, well, Daniel said, from that decree till the coming of the Messiah is 483 years. And so he must be coming on the scene soon. I mean, is it when he's born? Is it when he sets up his kingdom? So they wouldn't have known what's the span of time, what's the leeway, but they knew something was coming. That's why as soon as we found the Messiah, oh, where is he? And so there was this anticipation because of this prophecy in Daniel. Until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And that's certainly true. You can go read Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah, and Haggai, and you can realize the history. It was terrible for them to be able to rebuild the city, rebuild the temple with all the opposition of the Arabs that were in the land in those days. It was terrible, troublesome times, but they did it, just like Daniel said was going to happen. Verse 26, and after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. And really, it's after the 69 weeks, because it was 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So after the 62, after the second part of those weeks. So it's after the 483 years, Messiah is cut off. Did that happen? Yeah, Jesus was crucified. In fact, the word cut off in the Hebrew is karat. And when I was in Jerusalem talking to Gershon Solomon with some other pastors, I took him to this section of Scripture. Because the Jews today are anticipating the Messiah coming. They think the Messiah will be just a man. They will worship as the Messiah. They will follow as the Messiah, the man who brings them peace and the ability to build their temple. And so he was saying, we know he's coming. We know he's coming and he's going to let us build the temple because Gershon Solomon is the Temple Mount Faithful, head of the Temple Mount Faithful. And so I said, okay, so when your Messiah comes and he builds a temple and everything, when's he going to die? Oh, he won't die. And I said, your prophet says he's going to die. No, he'll never die. And he hadn't even read Daniel. And he's sitting there and he's reading Hebrew and he goes, da 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 da, with this other rabbi guy and da da da, karat. And I heard him say karat. And I go, see right there, karat. What does that mean? It means cut off in sacrificial death. So your Messiah has to die. See, even in their own scriptures, they should have realized the Messiah has to come once to die, once to rule. Well, how does that happen? How does he die and rule? He raises from the grave. And then we went off to another section of Scripture to talk about that. And his rabbi was saying, tell these guys to be quiet. And Gershon Solomon said, no, I want to listen to this. And then we went back there a few years later. He goes, I remember you, but he hadn't changed. He was still preaching the Jewish rejection of Jesus' party line. But he wanted to hear and say, don't be like Gershon. Because I grieve for Gershon because he's heard. He's heard from his own scriptures that the Messiah has to die, raise from the grave, come again to reign on earth. And he understood what I was saying. But he rejected it. Don't understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And that you should serve him. You should let him be the Lord of your life. You should get on your knees and confess yourself as a sinner deserving of hell. But instead you want to embrace and receive the gift of everlasting life that only Jesus can give. And then reject it. If you just have it here and you don't put it here, it's going to be worse for you, the Bible says. So pray for Gershon Solomon, because I know many other people witnessed to him, and I pray that somehow he'll come to a saving knowledge before it's too late. And after 62 weeks, really 69, after 483 years, Jesus will be cut off, but not for himself. He didn't die for himself. He died for us. And the people of the, and this is so important, and the people of the prince who is to come, this prince who is to come is the Antichrist, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple, which is what the sanctuary means, after the Messiah was cut off. Who was it? Who did that? It was the Romans. It was General Titus, who later became Emperor Titus. He brought three Roman legions and he destroyed Jerusalem completely, totally. Not one stone was left on top of another from the temple as Jesus had prophesied would occur. You can go to Jerusalem today and see the stones that were thrown off of the Temple Mount by Titus and his army that came and crushed the sidewalk. These massive granite stones or limestones that were, limestone stones that were thrown off of the Temple Mount and landed on the sidewalk. You can see that it was exactly fulfilled as Jesus said. And they're going to come. So that means when it says of the prince who is to come, then here's number one that we know about the Antichrist. We've also covered the Antichrist rises as he takes out three of the world kings that when there's only 10 and he rises up. We've learned some other things about the Antichrist, but this is the new stuff for today. The Antichrist will come from the revived Roman Empire. And some speculate, and I agree with this speculation, that really the Roman Empire is the Western Empire. He will be a Westerner. He'll be a descendant of the European Roman Empire ruling in democracy. Kind of that Roman leftover. Because it says the people of the prince who is to come. If the people were the Romans that destroyed the sanctuary, the prince comes from them. So that's what we should expect. He won't be a Muslim. People are trying to twist this now. There's so many teachers writing books here recently because they just see the Islamic threat. Islam's going to be the destroyer of the world during the tribulation period. And the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim fundamentalist, because what does the Antichrist do? He chops everybody's heads off in the book of Revelation. And who does that? Muslims. So he's a Muslim. I mean, it's just, that's all they stick on. They just want to save it because of that. It says here, it's going to be out of the people of the prince who is, the prince will come out of the people who are going to destroy Jerusalem. The Romans did. The Europeans. The end of it, the end of the city and the temple destruction shall be with a flood. The city was destroyed by a flood of troops. Often the Bible uses a flood to describe a battle of massive troops coming, three Roman legions that destroyed the city. Until the end, until the very end of the war, desolations are determined. Jews are going to suffer desolations until the end. Has that been fulfilled? Yeah, the world keeps on trying to wipe them out. All the time they've had nothing but misery after misery after misery throughout all the history of the world since the rejection of Jesus in 2,000 years ago. And now here's what's so important. Because we said that the end of all things, the establishment of the Messiah as the king and everything, is 490 years. Well, if 483 years was the coming of the Messiah, then only 7 years needed to happen before the end of all things. Did that happen? No, because here we are 2,000 years later. So this is what's generally understood, is that God stopped the stopwatch at 483 years. And he said, okay, my witness people, I promised Daniel, because I looked at, you know, God's telling the archangel, tell them, Daniel, 490 years are going to be using your people in your city. But if your city is destroyed, your temple is destroyed, and your people have rejected the Messiah, and as Jesus came into Jerusalem and wept over them and said, if you would have known this thy day for your deliverance, but now because you have rejected, because you're blind, your city's going to be destroyed. So what God said is, I'm going to use the Jews again. I promised Daniel 490 years I'm going to use the Jews in Jerusalem, but at 483, I cut them off. They cut the Messiah off. I'm going to cut them off. So there's 7 years left for God to use the Jews and the city of Jerusalem. Now, people can say, well, then why didn't the end come 7 years after 1948? Well, at 1948, the Jews weren't in possession of Jerusalem. Okay, in 1967, the Jews got in charge of Jerusalem, and so why not since then? Well, the next day, they gave it to the Arabs, and a good chunk of Jerusalem is owned by the Arabs. Well, when is it? When the Jews are in control of Jerusalem, it'll be, and that has not happened till this day. And their temple's not rebuilt, because in God dealing with the Jews and with the temple, the temple needs to be rebuilt. So the prophecy has now stopped and is waiting for something to happen. Then, and so now put a 2,000-year gap between verse 26 and 27, then something future to us, he, who's the he? The he is the prince who is to come from verse 26. He's the Antichrist. So then there's going to be the start of the last 7 years is now being described in verse 27. Then he, the Antichrist, the global ruler over 10 nations who came from within those 10 nations and took out three of the kings, himself became the head. We learned this from an earlier Daniel study, and is now the unchallenged ruler of the world and is able to enforce a covenant, shall confirm, which really means in the Hebrew enforce, a covenant with many. Many of the other 10 nations of the world at the time for 1 7-year period of time. Bam. That's what starts the clock again. So for you future left behind folks, when the national news is that the world leader has just signed his paper, done something to enforce a 7 year covenant with Israel and the rest of the nations, the 10-nation world empire. You've got 7 years from that day till Jesus physically returns to earth. And you've got 7 years of running and hiding from the Antichrist, which the Bible says you're going to lose because he's going to hunt you down, he's going to find you, and he's going to kill you. He's going to be given power to destroy the saints. And there's very few people on the earth that are going to even live. So when that happens, literally 1 7-year period of time is left to occur. People say, Kevin, why do you believe in a pre-trib rapture? Pre-capital T tribulation, which really means pre-70th week of Daniel rapture. And I say this verse right here is the strongest reason. Forget all the other ones that people use. This is the strongest one. Why? Because God is again using the Jews and his city Jerusalem. See, he was using the Jews and city of Jerusalem as his witness people for history. And then he stopped and he started using the church. The church, Jew and Gentile, being his witness people on earth. But when God says, I'm going to start using the Jews and Jerusalem as my witness to fulfill all the rest of prophecy until Jesus comes back, just before the Antichrist is getting ready to kill and slaughter all the rest of the Jews in Jerusalem, I'm going to come back and I'm going to set up my kingdom and they're going to be my witness people. See, all prophecy in the Bible after this event occurs is really all governed towards the Jews. It's all talking about the Jews. The book of Revelation talks about the church for the first 3 chapters. Then you don't hear about the church again until the end of the book of Revelation. What you hear is stuff about Jerusalem, the two witnesses of the Jews that are in Jerusalem, the rebuilding of the temple, the Jews that have to get out of Jerusalem and leave Judea when the Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation, the Jews. Where's the church? How come God has all these prophecies talking to the Jews, but he isn't talking to us? Because we're not here. So we have to be gone, in my estimation. I'm willing to be corrected as soon as I see the Antichrist enforce the covenant and I'm still here. But we do only see dimly this side of prophecy, and so it's gonna happen. This guy is gonna sign this covenant. And when that happens, the last 7 years, and we're gone. From now on, you left behinders, you're on your own. The church, the true believers in Jesus, they're gone. You can't call up mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, uncle, brother, sister, and ask them, now what? Up until then, we could have been here. We could have been here for the 10-nation, forming of the 10-nation. We could have been here for some of the wars and disasters. But from now on, you're on your own. You got the Word of God that we left behind in our houses. I'm planning on putting a couple in my walls, actually, just in case somebody has to go look for some because they might outlaw Bibles even before we, the church, go. And so he starts using the Jews again. And again, he's using them, not that they believe in Jesus. We're going to find out. Many of them don't. Most of the people believe the Antichrist is going to be their Messiah. So, one, he comes from Europe. Two, number two, he enforces a 7-year covenant that affects Israel. Now, what is this covenant going to do? Here's my speculation. I think the covenant, as a result of these wars we talked about last week, is going to be the world leader saying, you Jews, even though we've kind of outlawed religious fundamentalism because look at all the wars that happened, all the millions that are dead, and we're going to make it so that the whole world has to be in a global religion of just go along and get along and nobody gets to be a fundamentalist. We're going to let you build your temple. And we're going to let you sacrifice. We're going to put PETA in their box. They can't mess with you. Animal rights activists aren't good. We're going to let you do your thing. Because you survived this war, this war, this war. And you're demanding now, after being attempted to be annihilated by all these armies, and still you're standing, I'm going to be the good guy and let you keep building your temple or build your temple and animal sacrifices for the first time in 2,000 years. That's what I think. I don't know. It makes sense because it doesn't say, people will say peace treaty. I've said peace treaty for years and years and years. It doesn't say peace treaty. It says a covenant. And that would seem to fit with where the world is going with the global religion that we'll talk about later. Daniel 9:27. But in the middle of the week, He, in the middle of the 7 years, which means 3.5 years into this covenant, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. He tells the Jews, change my mind. I'm shutting it down. You are no longer going to sacrifice. And in fact, we're going to find out he goes into the Jewish, rebuilt Jewish temple and declares himself that he's God and tells the whole world he's God. And then everybody on the world, and this is again speaking to the future people, you will all be told in the future that you must bow and worship this man as your God or die. And that's what he's going to do. And if he's going to declare himself God, the Jews can't be worshiping who they say is God in their temple. So he shuts it down after 3.5 years. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. Somehow he's going to do an abomination inside the temple, even until the consummation, until the end. His desecration of the temple and his rejection of the Jews worshiping in the temple will be from that day on until Jesus comes back. The last 3.5 years, the Jews are not able to worship at the temple in Jerusalem, which is determined is poured out on the desolate, which is the Battle of Armageddon. So, turn to Daniel chapter 12, verse 9, because it's important to get from the teachings of Jesus a little bit more of Daniel about this event. Daniel is again seeking God. He wants to know more about the timing. He's told by God what the timing is. Daniel chapter 12, verse 9, and he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up. God is saying, Daniel, we've told you what to write, but people are not going to understand it until the end. The words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. This is a difficult book to understand. It's a difficult book to teach. But if it's just like totally Greek to you and then you evaluate your life and it's like, I love immorality, I love sex, drugs, rock and roll, then according to this, right now your head's just swimming in a cobweb. You haven't got a clue. And you don't care. Because the Bible says that if you want to live for wickedness in the world, the things of prophecy and the end will make no sense to you. And so if this doesn't make sense, I hope I've made it clear as best I can. I'm trying to. But then also evaluate your life and say, God, I think this is something I should be clear about. And so I want to repent of living for the world and for sin so that I can receive your word in my life because this is important. But the wise shall understand, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up by the Antichrist, we know from chapter 9, there shall be 1,290 days. Till what? Till Jesus comes back. Till the Messiah comes. We can know. See, here's another item for the future people. When you see the Antichrist on global TV, declare himself to be God, sitting in the Holy of Holy Places in the rebuilt Jewish temple, and he says, you know what? I've just told the Jews to take a hike, that they cannot be in here worshiping Yahweh anymore because I'm greater than Yahweh. When you see that happen, you can go to Daniel chapter 12 to remind yourself, put on your calendar 1,290 days, 3.5 years, and Jesus comes back. Blessed is he who waits and comes to 1,335 days, and I think that deals with Matthew chapter 25, and we don't have time to get into it. You can listen to our Matthew 25 study or Daniel 12 online. But you, Daniel, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days. When Jesus comes back to rapture the church, Daniel's going to be getting his body and going along with the rest of us resurrecting in the last days. Daniel, you've been faithful to write down what we've told you. People are not going to completely understand it till the end, but just go to the grave, and then when this resurrection of the dead happens with the bodies being joined with the spirits, you're going to be there too. And it's because of this prophecy from Daniel 12 that we know that that last week of sevens, that last seven is years. It's not months, it's not minutes, it's not weeks. It's years, weeks of years, because it says that from the time till the end is the number of days are equated with 3.5 years. And so the middle of the week has to be 3.5. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. Again, the Antichrist, in summary here, he comes from Europe. He enforces a 7-year covenant. He breaks that covenant 3.5 years into it, into the 7 years, and he makes an abomination. He sets up some kind of an abomination in the temple. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, then the king, Antichrist, and again, it'd take a long time to develop how we can say that this is talking about the Antichrist. You can listen to our Daniel study. But then the king shall do according to his own will. That nobody will oppose him. He'll be the all-powerful dictator of the world. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. So it's a parallel to chapter 12, which Daniel had just received this when he was seeking God for more information. Magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against God, the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. The wrath from who? Jesus at his second coming. In other words, when the Antichrist does come on the scene, he gets to accomplish his entire 7-year deal. Nobody's going to be able to assassinate him, although it appears from Scripture somebody tries. They try to assassinate him, but he's raised from the dead by the power of Satan, according to the Bible. He will not fail. He will be completely in control for 7 years until the wrath comes. The wrath is Jesus coming at the second coming, where he grabs the Antichrist and throws him into the pit of hell, as it says in the book of Revelation. Until the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. God has seen it already. He sees what happens. He tells us through Daniel. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers. This is so important. I'll read it and then we'll go back. He shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. Now, some people will teach that the Antichrist, according to this, is a homosexual. And I don't agree, because they say, well, see, it says right here that he doesn't like women. It doesn't say that he doesn't like women. It says he doesn't regard the desire of women. So, what does that mean? And what does it mean, the God of his fathers? I think this is telling us he's a Jew. People disagree. That's a gay, again, it's my best shot. Could be wrong. But it says that he doesn't regard the God of his fathers. Who has the God of their fathers? The Jews. The Jews have the God of their fathers. That's a terminology, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of their fathers is Yahweh, the true God. He has no regard for Yahweh. Nor the desire of women. What was the desire of women in Daniel's day, and actually every day in the Old Testament, after the prophecies of the Messiah? The desire of a woman was that she would be counted privileged to be the mother of the Messiah. And so her desire was, I would have a Messiah. So in other words, this is saying he will not care about Yahweh, and he won't care about the Messiah. He will say, forget Jesus. Forget Yahweh, forget Jesus, and he'll blaspheme their names. Nor regard any god. Now that takes care of all the Hindu gods, all the Buddhist gods, everybody's god. He has no concern for any gods, for he shall exalt himself above them all. I think that this is saying that he will succeed in his evil endeavors, will exalt himself as being God, is blasphemous, and he will be a Jew. David Dolan's strongly disagrees. He says that he's not a Jew. We've had David Dolan here. He's a good friend of mine. He's a great prophecy teacher. But I think it's so clear. Verse 38. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses, and a god which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Now this is really amazing. He's basically saying, not Yahweh, not Jesus, not any of the Hindu gods or any other god, but because he'll say, but I'm God, and he'll also still have somebody with him that he honors with silver and gold. That's going to be a god. But in their place, you shall honor a God of a God who is able to be all powerful, a God who can do whatever he wants to do, which his fathers did not know. Then verse 39. So number 8 on the items of the Antichrist will honor a completely foreign God while still declaring himself to be God. Verse 39. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign God. Anybody that comes against the Antichrist during the tribulation period is going to be annihilated, with the Antichrist using the powers of a foreign God to make it happen, is what it says. Which he shall acknowledge, and the Antichrist is going to acknowledge this guy and advance its glory, and he shall cause them, who's them, to rule over many and divide the land for gain. Now, this is my guess. Again, there's been a lot of hype recently about demonic beings materializing in the world. If you guys, you know, again, the people in the future, if all of a sudden the TV news is going, there truly are aliens, they're here, they're materialized, we've taken video of them, they're talking to us and everything else, we want you to know they're not the good guys. They are the devil and his demons who've been allowed to materialize. And it appears to me that the Antichrist, and the New Testament says that he is, the Antichrist, the Revelation says the Antichrist is possessed by Satan himself. And Satan is what gives him his power. It is Satan who is allowing him to come against fortresses with the powers of Satan. What can Satan do? Well, we know from the book of Job, when God told Satan, you can mess with Job and his family, Job's family was wiped out with a wind that knocked their house over. Satan was able to destroy all of his crops and all of his herds by marauding bands and by fire that came down and destroyed. Satan is powerful. When he's unleashed by God, when God says, okay, you can do your dirty work, Satan is a powerful being. Nobody will be able to mess with the Antichrist because of Satan. So, number 9 of who the Antichrist will be, Satan himself will give him the power of his rule. Satan will be allowed to materialize and help the Antichrist to deceive the world. The aliens have arrived. Yeah, that's my guess, just reading what it says. It says that he shall cause them to rule over many. It's one thing to run from the NSA and satellites. Try running from demons. When they're able to travel in a realm that we don't even understand or know, and they can just be aware of what's happening. And I could tell you, go watch on our YouTube channel on our calvarypo.org. Last time I was in Sudan, I interviewed Robert, a guy up from Uganda who had done his master's paper at the university on the LRA head, Joseph Kony, who was the terrorist of the LRA organization. And you can listen to him. He talked to the people that watched supernatural escapes of this guy, the LRA, the head of the LRA terrorist organization, because people would pick up rocks and they would blow up, his guys would pick up rocks and they would blow up when they threw them at the Ugandan troops. And I told him, I said, now us Americans, we're not going to believe. He goes, Kevin, I talked to people that saw it happen. Unbelievable demonic powers in this low life. Because there was probably just some powerful demons that did this. What kind of the demonic power of the man who had a legion of demons in him, that they would put chains around him and he was able to just bust out of the chains, run around naked in the tombs. There's going to be unbelievable demonic powers happening in the tribulation period. So again, if you get this before we're raptured off of here, you want to get into Jesus right then, right now. Get saved, because you don't want to be around. It'll be a time of trouble like the world has never even seen or imagined. Go to verse 45. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. How does he come to his end? King Jesus comes. In other words, number 10, he's a loser. And so why follow a loser? The Bible says people are going to worship him. They will worship the Antichrist, God, Satan, And what good is that? He loses, and his man loses. Let's turn to John chapter 5, verse 37. Because one of the things that we know also is that the Jews will originally think this guy is their Messiah. So at first, the Antichrist is going to have to somehow look like a good guy to the world. He's going to be promising all kinds. He's going to make Obama look like a kindergartner. He's going to say, I'm bringing hope and I'm bringing change. And the world's going to be mesmerized by him like they were deceived into believing 6 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever it was. All of a sudden people are going to, I'm not going to have to make a house payment. I'm not going to have to pay for my car. I'm going to get everything free. The government money is going to grow on trees. And I mean, I was sitting there going, what have these people been drinking to think that this guy can promise all this stuff? That the Antichrist is going to make that look like nothing. He is going to take over the world and the world's going to love him. Because Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 37, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you. Now he's talking to religious leaders in his day, Jewish religious leaders. Today he could be talking to a good chunk of the people that go to church in America. And he'd be saying the same thing. But you do not have his word abiding in you. Does that apply to you? If it applies to you, repent while you have time. So you can be saved, truly saved. So you can miss the days that are coming upon this world. So that you can go into everlasting life with Jesus. But you do not have his word abiding in you. Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these scriptures, are they which testify of me, but you reject me. You say, I am eternal life because I'm a Jew. And just because I rip people off and I want to kill this new guy in town because he says he's a Messiah, because we want to yoke with the Romans and they've given us all kinds of power and prestige because my life's more important than Jesus, they reject Jesus. But you are not willing to come to me. Why? What does it take to come to Jesus? You got to humble yourself and say, my life is over. I don't care about my life. I only care about serving the God who so loved me, came up to die on the cross for my sins. But you were not willing to come to me that you may have life. You don't come to Jesus, you haven't got life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you. Because God knew everybody. He knew the hearts of people. He knew what they were thinking. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. If you love God, he's saying, if you love God, what? You'll love Jesus. If you love Jesus, Jesus says, if you love me, what? You'll do what I say. And so if you don't care what Jesus says, then you don't love Jesus. And if you don't love Jesus, you don't love God. And if you don't love God, you're going to go into eternity separated from the God that you don't love, which is what you want because you don't love God. He's not sending you there. He's just going to give you what you want. This week we heard the news of the Christian group, Jars of Clay singer Matt Hasseltine, who tweeted. He was coming back on an airplane. He starts tweeting about the homosexual agenda. I just don't see a negative effect of allowing gay marriage. No social breakdown, no war on traditional marriage. Anyone? I don't see any problems with homosexual marriage. I mean, it's not going to be a breakdown of society. He goes on to tweet, because most people read and interpret Scripture wrong, I don't think Scripture clearly states much of anything regarding morality. He isn't even talking about this. He's talking about morality. Guess what? He doesn't read his Scriptures. Or, when he reads them, he can't understand them. And if you read them and you can't, believe me, the Scriptures are very, very clear about morality. And it's very, very clear about homosexual agenda. Very clear. You might not want to believe it. You might want to disagree with God. I don't suggest disagreeing with God. You'll lose. It's very clear. But his mind's been clouded. Just like the Bible said, if you want to live in iniquity, you want to live in wickedness, then you will not understand these things. goes on to say, it is perhaps less important to know what is right and wrong, morally speaking, from the scripture, than to know how to act towards those who we consider wrong. What is that going back to? That's going back to the Garden of Eden. God said to Adam, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what was that tree? That was man saying, I don't care what you say is good and evil, God. I'm going to take this knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to decide what's good and evil. Don't want to go there. And then we sit there and we realize, okay, this is a Christian band. When they had some songs that somebody brought me the lyrics to, I go, these lyrics are not the gospel. This is contrary to the gospel. There's something wrong. Years ago, something's wrong. Yeah, something's wrong. And that's what Jesus was saying. He says, but I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I beg you, agree with God. Because if you agree with God, you love God. Let the world say whatever. Let the world try and redefine morality. Let them call evil good and good evil, according to what the Bible calls good and evil. Let them go do that. Let them hate you because you don't go there. And just continue to love Jesus. Because if you love Jesus, then you're one of His. If you love Jesus, you love God. You love God, He loves everybody. He just wants us to love Him. Because if we say, I love you, then He says, good, then you won't mind coming into my house for a really long time. A long, long time. Everybody wants to be in God's house if they really thought about it. The God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. John chapter 5, verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Jesus is prophesying, and this is number 11 on my list today. At first, the Jews will believe that the Antichrist is their Messiah because Jesus says so. So that must mean that the Jews are thinking, finally, after all these years, the guy that's going to let us build a temple, the guy that's going to let us do our thing, he's forcing the rest of the world into this global religion thing, but he's made an exception for us. He must be the Messiah. Because Jesus says, you're rejecting me, and I come in my Father's name. Another guy's going to say, I'm not coming as God. I'm just a man. That Jesus who came saying he was God, you Jews all know he wasn't God. The whole world knows he wasn't God. I'm just coming as a man to do some good things for you Jews. Oh, finally, the Jews will say, oh, finally, we don't have to worship a Messiah as the God-man, Jesus. And they will be deceived. Which, again, makes it so the Antichrist can't be a Muslim, because the Muslim's not going to let the Jews build a temple. The Muslims are not going to be deceiving the Jews who have been anticipating their Jewish Messiah according to the Scriptures, because Islam hates the Jews, hates the Scriptures pertaining to the Jews, hates the idea of them building a temple. It can't be a Muslim Antichrist. Now we can go to Matthew 24:15. Therefore, this is Jesus. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, we read both of those sections of Scripture, chapter 9 and chapter 12, where Daniel talked about it. When you see him standing in the holy place, meaning the Holy of Holies in the rebuilt temple, this requires the Jewish temple to be rebuilt. Whoever reads this, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea, again, literal Judea, Israel, let's go flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. That means the Jews are going to be totally back into Sabbath observance. 3.5 years of going totally back to the law of Moses, totally back to temple worship, sacrifice, everything, because the Jews will say, we can't run today, it's the Sabbath. God's saying, you better pray the Antichrist doesn't go and desecrate the temple on the Sabbath day, and that's not during winter when it's going to be hard to travel. For then there will be great tribulation. Last 3.5 years of the tribulation period is called the Great Tribulation because of this verse. Such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, and I think the elect were the Jews, it was several times in the Old Testament, I think Jesus is talking about the Jews, the elect Jews, they would be all destroyed. If the time wasn't shortened, those days will be shortened. Others say it's talking about Christians, and that's why we're going to be here, because, yeah, see, if we're the elect, if the Christians are the elect, that means we're there until the very end. But it's going to be the Jews, and there's going to be Jews that believe in Jesus, and there's going to be Gentiles that believe in Jesus. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christ will appear. I've told you beforehand. So, again, the Antichrist is going to deceive the Jews into thinking he's the Messiah, and Jesus warns them, don't do it. Because the Messiah is going to come like the lightning flashes from the east to the west, so is the coming of the Son of Man, it goes on to say in Matthew. And let's turn to Revelation 13:1. I'm going to skip over 2 Thessalonians 2:7 through 12 that says that he's going to declare himself to be God, sitting as God in the temple of God. So Paul teaches the same thing, that the Antichrist is going to declare himself to be God, and that the people that will be deceived by him are people that do not love the truth. Do you love the truth? Do you love the truth? What is the truth? Well, Jesus said in John 17 that thy word is truth. It says the word is the truth. Well, who's the word? John 1 says the word is who? Jesus. So because people do not love Jesus and don't love what Jesus has said, God will send them a strong delusion to believe the Antichrist and to fall for the deceptions in the last days. And we skipped over Zechariah, which are in your notes, Zechariah 11 through 14. Zechariah 11 says that it's the verse that prophesies that they're going to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And because they rejected the true shepherd, Jesus, and betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, God's going to give him a false shepherd. And the false shepherd is going to be the worthless shepherd, where it says in verse 17, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall be completely withered, and his right eye shall be totally blinded. We covered this last Wednesday in our Wednesday night study, going through Zechariah. In other words, the Antichrist is going to have a... Here's another item, number 12. The Antichrist will be blind in his right eye and will have a withered arm, possibly from an attack that somebody makes on him, which we're going to get in Revelation. Revelation 13:1, and we'll close with this section of Revelation. Then I, John, stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast, the Antichrist, and the beast system, the ten-nation beast, rising up out of the sea, the people of the world, having seven heads and ten horns. That goes along with what we studied in Daniel 2 and 7. And on his horns, ten crowns, and on his heads, blasphemous names. All the leaders of the ten nations are all going to be blasphemous against God, because you're not going to be a king unless you're along with the Antichrist, who hates God and is possessed by Satan. Now, the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, the mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon, the devil Satan, gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. So these beasts, the lion, the leopard, those are synonymous with Daniel, that it's like Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. He's going to be encompassing, as we said in an earlier study, the Antichrist is going to be encompassing the ways of ruling the world, just like all those global nations before him. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. The Antichrist is going to be mortally wounded in his head, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Number 13, the Antichrist will be killed with a head wound, yet survive. And the whole world's going to be amazed. This guy rose from the grave. So they worshipped the dragon. The world's going to worship the devil Satan, who gave him his power. See, the devil Satan is materialized in front of the world, allowed the Antichrist to rule, gave the Antichrist his power, and the people are going to worship him along with the Antichrist. And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months, for 3.5 years after being attempted assassination. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. He doesn't like us. The Antichrist is going to shake his fist. I hate you, God. I hate heaven. I hate all you people that are in heaven. Now, all the angels, because I think the angels are going to come down and be ministering to this time too. The angels of God materialize physically. It was granted to him to make war with the saints to overcome them, as Daniel said. And authority was given him over every tribe, every tongue, every nation, the whole world. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This is our encouragement again to the future. We're not going to cover this, but later on in this chapter, his right-hand man, the Antichrist's right-hand man, is going to make everybody in the world get his name in their hand, get the Antichrist's name in their hand or their forehead, and then they're going to have to bow and worship his image or die. And everybody that does that is lost. Everybody that takes his name in their hand or their forehead and worship the image, they're done. The Bible makes it quite clear. There's no turning back. I remember sharing this with a guy in the shipyard, and I said, "You're not going to take the mark of the beast, are you?" And he goes, if it's what I have to do to stay alive, I'm going to. Because I told him all this. He had it up here. Yeah, if that's what it takes to stay alive. So I taught him some more about the consequences. When I quit the shipyard, the day I'm walking out, I go, "You're still going to, maybe I won't." You don't want to take it. It means you are forever lost in hell if you were. "Well, I'll die. He'll cut my head off. Who cares?" It'd be better to go into life as a into eternity as a martyr for sticking with Jesus. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. Do you have an ear? If you're here today as a visitor and you don't consider yourself a true born again believer in Jesus, I hope this speaks to you. And if we're talking to the future, I hope it speaks to you. If you're still alive, because you haven't been killed in the natural disasters, the wars that wipe out a half of the world's population, if you're still alive, there's time to bow the knee to Jesus and to worship him and to turn away from the Antichrist and to love God until the very end. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. And I do pray that for everyone here that we could have even more of a heart to want to do what you say. Lord, we, just like the man who said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief," we can say, "Lord, we love you, but just help us to love you more. Help us to love you more, your word more, to be willing to take the reproach of your name and what you've said, and we turn away from what the world is calling good, which is actually evil, and not embracing the evil that the world is saying is good. That, God, you would just help us to walk with you. And if there's anybody here that hasn't truly bowed a knee to you, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, they would realize that now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to just submit to you and to allow you to rule in their life. And they would humble themselves before you and ask for your forgiveness and trust you as their Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Your hands and clap for joy. That song's actually taken from the book of Revelation, and it talks about those saints that have truly gone to heaven because they've rejected the so-called gods of this world and have worshipped Jesus instead, and they're going to forever be worshiping Jesus, the Lamb of God, and enjoying Him for all of eternity as the God who created us and gave us life. May God bless you, and may He allow your hearts to just grow closer to Him in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen.